Welcome to another episode of 50 Tastes of Grey. I'm Matthew Grey, and on today's show, we're thrilled to have a guest whose radiant charm and captivating smile light up any room she enters. Please join us in welcoming the ever-so-talented Margaret Stone from Eat Smart. Her passion for eating is as infectious as her smile, so sit back, relax, and prepare to be inspired by Margaret's unique culinary journey and great advice. So let's dive in. So, Margaret, what have you eaten today?
What have I eaten today? I had some shrimp today. Was like an hour ago.
Done in what style?
They were, I'm assuming they were probably steamed because I had them cold.
What did you sauce them with or spice them with?
So I had them out at a restaurant. So I'm not exactly sure the method of the way they cooked them, but they were with cocktail sauce.
Okay. So like a shrimp cocktail, old style shrimp cocktail. And what else have you had today?
Let's see. For breakfast, I had like a little egg casserole that I had made ahead of time. So it was scrambled eggs baked with like hash browns in there and veggies.
Playing it fast and loose, are you?
Yeah.
What part of the world are you in?
I'm in Dallas, Texas now.
So now that we got the important stuff out of the way as to what you've eaten today, tell us a little bit about Eat Smart and what you're doing these days.
Yeah, for sure. So Eat Smart is a company that I created that was born out of my being able to heal my own health problems naturally through food. So it was a really long journey for me, and it took a really long time for me to realize that I'm basically in control of whether or not I have certain health ailments and certain symptoms. But after that long journey, I decided that I wanted to shout this to as many people that needed help and wanted to hear, because it's pretty incredible. And I'm reminded anytime I kind of eat off what I know maybe I should or shouldn't have, because, you know, it's not about rigidity, right?
Right.
But the next day I'll feel it for sure. I'll be like, yep, I know what that was.
Oh, yeah. You know, the aches and the pains, they follow you based on what you've eaten the prior day.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about your journey related to food, what you've been through and what you've accomplished and what you are recognizing.
Yeah. So, geez, I mean, I think the journey probably began when I had really bad acne when I was like a teenager, and probably even before that with the joint pain. I think I remember at like age 8 or 9, mm-hmm. I'd be like, Mom, like my joints just hurt so bad. And I was like, we were healthy. We never ate out. Like eating out was like once every few months or something. Right. And doctors just telling me, oh, it must be growing pains. Right. And of course, okay, you're the doctor, you must know. Right. But like, they just hurt so bad. My joints hurt so bad. And then they continued to hurt. And I don't think it wasn't until I was in my early 20s with the acne and I had been on Accutane. Mm-hmm. That I was kind of doing my own research because nothing was helping the acne, and something came up about maybe trying to cut out dairy. So I was willing at that point to do anything I had to do to fix the acne, right? So I cut out the dairy, and interestingly enough, I was like, wait, I don't have joint pain anymore.
Wow.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of how I learned how to heal the joint pain. And then it took, I would say, a few months for the acne to resolve. But if I do dairy, like I'll have dairy, right? Because it's fun. People do fondue. People are like, let's have nachos, right? And sometimes I'll be like, you know what? Everything's going fine. Let me just dip in. Mm-hmm. And I do. And the next morning I'll wake up and I'll be like, wow, like my ankles, they ache, or my knees. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Wow.
So yeah. So no official allergy test to dairy, but I will, you know, kind of go a step further. So when you think about what dairy is, what milk essentially is meant to make that baby grow. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So milk inherently, even if you're having organic milk, is full of growth hormones. That's just the way it is. It's meant to stimulate growth unlike any other food,
right?
So the natural hormones in the dairy can create a lot of systemic inflammation in the body.
Yeah. But what about the other things that cause inflammation that are known to do that? Like perhaps an overabundance of carbohydrates that stimulates insulin and glucose and all of the things that are related to that How does that play into somebody who's having difficulties with aches and pains or other kind of disease-related issues?
Yeah. I mean, all of those things, like you were saying, with the insulin and the glucose, all of those things, your body is just trying to regulate, right? You're giving it all these things. It's like almost having a firing squad, and it can't fix itself. It wants to. It's made to. We're made to thrive and survive. We are made to repair. But when we are constantly giving it all of these things, that's why I say it's not about perfection. We can do like 90% clean, 10%, whatever, 80% clean, but it's about giving your body that rest period.
So when you talk about the eating of foods and so on, are you talking about maybe doing intermittent fasting to release your body from having to do all the work of digesting all the time? Or are you talking about certain style of eating or certain kinds of foods?
Yeah. So what I work with specifically is not necessarily intermittent fasting or, you know, the times of eating. Although to your point, it is really good to give your body the digestive break, because you think about it, it's like you wouldn't walk on the treadmill 24/7. When we're snacking all day, your organs, your pancreas is constantly working. So your body, to my earlier point, doesn't have a lot of time to work on the other issues that are going on.
Right, right.
But largely in Eat Smart, what I help my clients with is to simplify the food that they're eating. Mm-hmm. And in that simplification, meaning eating real food, food that you can pronounce on the ingredient label, exactly. It's within that simplification that most people find that, I mean, if anything, their energy is back, right?
So when you're talking about real foods, are you talking about unprocessed foods or unoverly processed foods or whole foods or organic foods, or what exactly does real food mean?
Anything that you can actually pronounce or anything that is in its whole form. So of course, now I always give this example, you can't find like a cracker in the garden, but there are crackers that are made of flax, chia seed, egg, right? Like whole things versus, you know, your guar gum. Right, exactly. All these things that are manipulated and made in a lab. So basically just kind of down to bare bones, whole foods, essentially. I mean, that's where whole foods got their name, right? Whole foods.
There's so much misinformation going on. The American Heart Association tells us that Honey Nut Cheerios are good for our heart.
Right. Right. And then what was it about on the pyramid? Lucky Charms is better than meat. I'm going to say it wrong. But do you remember that? That was like a thing people were kind of, I think, inflating it a little bit. But
and you'll never guess who funded that study.
So who funded that study?
Well, you know, it has to be the Lucky Charms people or Kellogg's or General Mills or someone like that. Because, you know, it's all part of the whole misinformation campaign of big food, big pharma on the other end. And then big medicine in between. So it's like, where are we to go? What are we to believe, you know?
Right. And it's crazy, you know, I think I do a lot of thinking about this, right? So how did we end up here? And what else in life? I mean, I guess there's maybe a few things, but what else in life, just because it's there, do we just accept it blindly, right? So just because it's on our food shelves, we assume, okay, like, let's eat this, right? But it shouldn't, we need to think a little bit further, right? There's a lot that goes into why it's on the food shelf. It's a marketing game, right? They're making it taste better with more sugar. They're making it look bigger with more fillers, right? So I think there needs to be more of a connection to understanding that.
Yeah. And it definitely is difficult for the average consumer to learn about the food and about their health and that connection, the nexus between the two.
So it definitely has to come down to you coming to your own conclusion. I know for me, I had nothing against doctors, but what I did realize was it wasn't about the doctors anymore. It was, I'm still dealing with all these issues. I'm not going to take an ibuprofen every day. I'm not going to do the Tums. And the acid reflux, you know, came to me and I'm like, oh, my dad has acid reflux. This must be genetic. I'm just going to have to deal with it.
Right.
And then the more clean I got, I'm telling you, I do not have acid reflux. This is mind-blowing.
I know.
Right?
That is a very important issue to kind of pay attention to this stuff. You're young, so you had a lot of things that you overcame based on cleaning up your diet.
Yeah.
You still dairy-free?
I am still dairy-free, yep. I do a lot of plant milks, and it's really important for all of your people are watching or listening to this, mm-hmm, making mm-hmm. sure that that plant milk has real ingredients in it. So the plant milk that I buy only has two ingredients, water and your cashews or your almonds, right? If you have a good plant milk that only has those two ingredients, you need to shake it before you consume it because it separates, which is natural, right? But I mean, shaking is good for your arms, right?
It is. I'm like, okay. Is.
I make almond milk and cashew milk here at home. And then after I'm done squeezing the pulp out in the cheesecloth, I make crackers out of that.
Yes, that's amazing. That is something I have yet to try. So do you put it thin on a sheet pan, or how do you do that?
Yeah, I put it on top of parchment paper, then covered with parchment paper, and I roll it out with a rolling pin so it's even and consistent. And I might spice it up with a little bit of olive oil and some good sea salt, and like maybe a dusting of onion powder, and like good to go. And just pop it in the oven, and they are amazing.
Fantastic. That is amazing. I love that. I've also heard, you know, in place of oats, because I do try to get people to move away from oats. And granted, you know, we don't need to go crazy with clean, but I do get people to move away from oats, is using that pulp from the nut milk that you're making to kind of use it mixed with like berries and nuts instead of your oatmeal to make it kind of like a breakfast bowl.
Yeah. Anytime you can stay away from the carbs, in my opinion, is probably a really healthier and cleaner way to be able to defeat disease and to fight off pain and inflammation and stuff like that. Yeah. Are you good in the kitchen, or are you just good as an eater?
Totally. Totally. So, you know, I think it was kind of the perfect marrying of the pieces. I love to eat. I love to eat, and I love to cook. But I also love the way I feel now. But I was not willing to not be able to have my chocolate cake. I was not willing to not be able to have my creamy pasta. Let me tell you, cashew milk, simmer that on the stove with a little bit of lemon juice. And if you want to make it like a red creamy sauce, add some tomato paste. That thickens up. Unbelievable. It is like a cream. It's like a dairy cream sauce.
Yeah. I mean, that's similar to the way that Indian cuisine is. They use a lot of nuts in their products, and you would swear that it was a dairy product, but it is nut. It nut related. A lot of almonds and definitely a lot of cashews.
Yeah.
What are some of the chocolate products that you're able to make in your style of cooking and eating?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, I mean, there are a few really good brands now, and I always tell people to go to thrivemarket.com and you want to look at the ingredients. But when I want to make like a chocolate cake, a flourless chocolate cake, there are brands of chocolate chunks that do not have any added sugar in them. Or if they do, it's like a coconut sugar. But then what I also realized, and I came up with this on my own, and I imagine it's on the internet somewhere, but you can take cacao powder and mix that with coconut oil liquid, and that becomes like a dipping chocolate. So I make my own Snickers bars, and I dip them in chocolate. And instead of using the chocolate chunks and melding the chocolate chunks, you can mix the cacao powder in with a little bit of coconut oil, and it's liquid. And then you dip those Snickers bars in, and then they harden perfectly, because when coconut oil gets colder, it just hardens. It's like a perfect chocolate shell or chocolate candy. And yeah, so that's a really good tip.
Why do you use cacao powder instead of cocoa powder?
Typically, cocoa powder, from what I have come to see on the shelves, when it says cocoa powder, it has a lot of added stuff in it. Cacao powder is the more raw form. So cocoa powder maybe is like your Nestle cocoa, and it's got the added sugar and probably the color and even like natural flavors.
Yeah, right. You just want to stay away from that, you know. A lot of people don't know this, but artificial or natural vanilla is not necessarily real vanilla. So, and do you know where that comes from?
I think I do, but I'll let you say it.
Margaret, that vanilla that people think that they're eating is beaver butt. It comes from the beaver.
It is the like beaver squishy butt. Yes.
It's some sort of like a weird enzyme or flavoring that they get from beaver butt. And like, that's really sick.
Those poor beavers.
Exactly. And poor us for eating that and thinking it's real.
I know. But you know, you'd be surprised, you know, people are probably, they would probably hear that. And a lot of people are disgusted, right? But then a lot of people are like, well, it's half the price. I'm like, oh my goodness.
And it tastes good.
You know?
And that's kind of what people are doing. They're sacrificing, you know, when they hear the knowledge, they kind of they ignore that instead of moving forward with that, right?
Right.
When someone comes to you and they say, Margaret, fix me. I've got aches and pains. What do you do as far as like the process? What's your intake process in working with somebody?
Yeah, for sure. So I first want to know, you know, what their lifestyle is like, what their ratio is, how much they're in the kitchen versus on the go and eating out, because I really tailor it toward real, practical, doable advice, right? And depending on, you know, where they're more heavy, let's say they're more heavy in the kitchen, I also want to know what are their favorite foods, because I want people to be able to enjoy eating. That's the point. That's half the point of eating, right? Nourishment and enjoyment. So really making sure that they have their staple go-to swaps, clean swaps for the things that they love. And definitely, I mean, we always start out with swapping the oils, the cooking oils, because that's just the easiest thing. That's the easiest thing to swap out.
You just read my mind. Exactly. Yeah. I was going to ask you about the oils. Do you have them throw away all the crap oils?
Absolutely. I'm like, don't even put them outside because those poor plants, no.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people just like pour them into the garden. Nope, don't do that. What oils are you suggesting people use?
Yeah, so avocado oil is great. Olive oil is wonderful. I tend to not recommend that you heat it because there's some information to suggest that over a certain point, it can create kind of carcinogenic compounds when you heat olive oil. But again, you know, this is about harm reduction, not perfection.
Right.
And then, I mean, I love things like tallow, you know, natural animal fats is great. Right? I mean, that is where it's at.
Yeah. For the longest time, America cooked with lard and they cooked with tallow and they cooked with suet. It turns out that we shouldn't be afraid of animal fats and saturated fats. They're not, there's no correlation between that and heart disease. So the problem is the sugars and the carbs and the bad oils and things like that. So helping to educate the world about food and their health is so important. So what you're doing is great.
And can I add a piece to that? And I'm sure you probably know this, why we think, oh, fat is bad, right? Who paid for that? Mm-hmm. So the sugar industry largely, you know, paid Harvard to inflate the negative effects of fat and downplay the negative effects of sugar on heart health. Yeah.
And, you know, part of what they did was they said people who eat red meat have a higher incidence of X, Y, or Z killers. The problem is that they never paid attention to the satellite foods that people often eat or associate with a meat meal, which would be potatoes or macaroni or rice and things like that. And a lot of those kind of starches, which are huge in India and China and so on, turns out that India has the highest incidence of diabetes. Half of our audience right now is fighting weight issues, diabetes issues, disease issues, medication issues. And so they need to learn about these whole foods and need to kind of make that progress.
Right. I'm here to say, like, I love to eat and I love what the options are for clean eating. It's just about, you know, changing that perspective. There's plenty of amazing, amazing options. I eat wonderfully.
Yeah. And you don't have to do it all at once. A lot of people think they have to change everything yesterday. But the fact of the matter is, little small steps is probably the best way to kind of creating a new habit for you. And then it becomes easier as time goes on. So no one has to change right now.
My food-related background is someone who grew up in the kitchen, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I say this all the time, I'm not a dietitian. And if I went to a dietitian, I'd still be feeling the way I felt before I came up with the Eat Smart system.
Right. Right. Yeah. Same thing with me. I always say, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist, but I know a hell of a lot more about nutrition than they do.
Yeah. Or the practical application. Like, I can help people get to a certain result. You want this result? Let me tell you all the options. Here's the thing too, you know, that I think about is, why would a doctor never have said, why don't you try cutting out dairy? Why don't you try cutting out gluten? You know, as a last resort, I was desperate, right? What's the harm in saying, hey, just try this?
Exactly. Margaret, when was the last time you went to a doctor and they asked you what you eat? Probably never.
They don't.
And that's a big, big, big part of the problem here. What's the next step with Eat Right and what you're doing?
So I have come up with a program. It's a 90-day program. And it's basically everything that took me, I would say, a decade to come to the conclusion and to learn and how to resolve these health problems and just have amazing energy and just feel awesome. It's called Clean Eating 101. So that program basically, kind of like what I was mentioning earlier, takes you through how to make the clean swaps, how not to feel deprived when you're eating. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose the weight without calorie counting.
Right.
You're going to lose the weight. You don't even have to cut the carbs necessarily.
Yeah.
And you're going to learn, connected to what your ailments are, how to find relief from those symptoms.
That's great. And also a 90-day program is something that's really beneficial as a test market period of time for someone to understand and take a look at the results that they've experienced. How can someone fit that, your style, your 90-day program, into their lifestyle and their budget?
The people that come to me are already desperate, maybe, yeah, or so activated, wanting to get a change, right, because they're just sick of it. Mm-hmm. And you have to be at that point. And that's the thing too, in order to make that investment worth your while, you already have to be at that place where there are no other options as far as what else I'm going to do. Like, I'm sick of taking pills. I'm sick of feeling this way every day.
That's great information. You're right. People can't do anything big without being persistent and determined and getting ready to make a change. So no one can say, you need to do this. They need to be ready.
Right.
And then they come out, they reach out, right, and you go, okay, we can do it. I know how to help you out. And yeah, it's good to have that confidence and to know that you can help people.
Absolutely. And I love it. Like I was saying, I love food so much, and you can eat what you want and you can feel good. Like, it's awesome.
I know. Isn't that great? So your palate is all over the place. You're comfortable eating any different style or flavor.
Yeah. So I did a sushi bake the other day. I tried that. So you take like the nori sheets, and then I take salmon and dice it up, and I mix it with mayonnaise and sesame seeds and some more nori flakes and bake it. And then you kind of scoop it onto the seaweed sheets. And that's just, I love that.
How would people get a hold of you, and where could they contact you to get all your good information and assistance?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is eatsmartcoaching.com. And then you can click, there's like a book now tab. And I welcome you to book an intro call with me where we can talk and identify right in that free call three things that you can do like right now to start getting some relief and to start feeling better and to start releasing some of the weight, and talk about how Eat Smart can work for you.
Oh, that's great. Have you been a big influence for your friends and your family?
I have. You know, I wish I see so clearly the things my dad is struggling with, but you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of one change maybe he's stuck to. I think he now feeds the cat clean food. So there is clean cat food too, but he hasn't made any changes with himself, but the cat's eating clean. So that's a win, I guess.
You know, I cook scrambled eggs for my cats every morning, and then I make chicken for them.
Yep.
Each week they always have fresh made chicken. So if you can show dad that it's helping the kitties, then maybe he can also be willing to reach out and say, okay, I'll take your advice.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want him to swap. Like, he won't give up hot dogs. And I'm like, just have these better version of hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Won't do it. I'm like, all right.
There are a lot of versions of uncured hot dogs with very few ingredients and no artificial stuff that's available. You should just swap that out one day and make it for him. And he'll go, whoa, these are awesome.
Yeah, I'll be like, I don't even know. Yeah.
Right? Well, that sounds great. I thank you so much for spending your time with me. I love that you're into the whole food thing and getting healed and getting healthy with that. That's awesome. That's really good stuff.
Yeah. It was lovely to speak with you. And I love your gnome there. I love your gnome in the background.
Yeah, that's a New York Yankee insignia on the gnome's hat.
It's kind of
a blending of flavors and styles, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that license plate you see behind me, the EAT license plate, is the license plate of my former tour band for Hawaii Food Tours that I had for many years. That's a license plate.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
I love food tours. Food tours are the best.
Yeah, it's the best way to see a city when you're traveling. It's absolutely the best way to travel.
Yeah, for sure.
So thanks again, Margaret, and we'll stay in touch. And I'll put a bunch of good information on the show notes for you, and people will be able to contact you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye.
Aloha.